There was a little third grade boy who was not doing very well in public school. He was not motivated, wasn't doing his homework, was getting terrible grades. So his parents thought, I have the solution, we're going to send him to Catholic school, get the nuns to straighten him out. Well, he began at Catholic school, and within a month he was getting all A's, he was highly motivated, he was doing great, especially in subjects which he had done very poorly before, like mathematics. And so his parents sat him down after a month of getting straight A's, and he said, tell us, what was the big change? How did you get so motivated? Well, the young boy said, well, when I went into the Catholic school, I saw what they did to the man on the big plus sign, and I knew they meant business. Always remember that the cross is a plus sign. It's not a negative. The cross is positive. That's why we call it Good Friday, not Bad Friday, not Terrible Friday, not Lousy Friday. It's Good Friday. The cross is a positive. It's a plus sign. It was through the cross that Jesus died for our sins. It was through the cross that he opened the gates of heaven. It was through the cross that he redeemed us. So it's a positive thing. And in today's gospel, the Lord shows how, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, and those who gazed upon that serpent were cured of the poison of the snake bites, so when the Lord is lifted up on the cross, those who gaze upon him with faith and obedience are cured of the poison of sin and can have eternal life. Jesus says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. When he is lifted up, if you saw the movie of the Passion, as you know, when people were crucified, when men were crucified, they were nailed on the ground to the cross, and then that cross was lifted up. So Jesus says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all souls to myself. And of course, his lifting up also refers to his resurrection, when he is raised up and when he ascends to heaven at the right hand of the Father. But of course, as Catholics, it also means to us when he is lifted up in the Mass, in the Eucharist, when that host is elevated, he draws all souls to himself. That's why we have Eucharistic adoration. Because that moment of the priest elevating the host is captured in Eucharistic adoration. And the monstrance holds up Jesus so we can adore him. So when Christ is lifted up, he draws all souls to himself. On the cross, in the resurrection, his ascension, and in the Mass. And isn't it true that the priest says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. And you say, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you. Only say the word, and I shall be healed. I shall be healed. So, in the Old Testament, we have this passage of the Israelites being very rebellious, very disobedient. So God allows poisonous serpents into their camp. Many people are bitten by the snakes. Many of them are dying. Some of them have died. And the people say to Moses, what shall we do? And Moses prays, and God tells him, well, make a serpent out of bronze and put it on a pole, on a tree, and those who gaze upon it will be cured of the poison of the snake bite. In fact, I believe this is why the medical community has that symbol, right, with the snakes on the pole. It's a scriptural symbol of healing. So in the Old Testament, the people that obeyed God and looked upon that bronze serpent were cured because of their faith and their obedience to what God said. Now, Jesus says, when I am lifted up on the cross, you will be healed. And this happened to, remember the centurion, when Christ was dying on the cross, the centurion said, truly, this man was the Son of God. And he was converted. Look at Dismas, the good thief. He gazed upon Christ and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. The thief stole heaven at the last moment. And he was cured of his sins. He was healed of his sins and was given eternal life. So when Christ was raised up, those who gazed upon him in faith were cured. We as Catholics should love this image of the crucifix. It's really the price tag for our salvation. Mother Teresa said, if you ever doubt how much God loves you, look at a crucifix, and there you see that God died for you, that Jesus died on the cross for each one of us. You should never doubt that God loves you if you look at a crucifix, because that is the proof of God's love. There's a holy card that says, I asked God how much he loved us. He stretched out his arms and he died for us. St. Thomas Aquinas said that he learned more about God's love by meditating on the crucifix than by reading countless books. St. Louis de Montfort, whose statue is here, who's always seen holding the crucifix and the rosary when he preached, on his deathbed, he held the crucifix. He meditated upon that, and that was his comfort. He died at the young age of 43, and he gazed upon the crucifix as he was dying. In fact, I hope that all of us on our deathbed will also be holding a crucifix and uniting our sufferings to that of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In every Catholic church, canon law requires a crucifix on the altar or somewhere in the sanctuary as a reminder of God's love for us. Sometimes people of other religions say, well, why do you have the dead Jesus on the cross? He's not dead anymore. He's risen from the dead. And we say, that's right. He is risen from the dead. But we should never forget the ultimate sacrifice he made for us. And that's the same reason why at Christmas time, all the churches have nativity scenes and they have the baby Jesus in that manger. And we could say he's not a baby anymore. And he's not. But we put him in the manger to remind us of the humility, the poverty, the simplicity of God who became a baby. So just as we want reminding at Christmas about the baby Jesus, even though we know he's not a baby anymore, he's glorified, he's risen from the dead, so we have a crucifix, even though we know he's risen, but we have a crucifix to remind us of the greatest act of love, the greatest martyrdom in the history of the world, where Jesus died for us. So I hope that in each of your homes, you have a crucifix. In fact, it's something that has been so helpful when I visit people in the hospital or prisons or nursing homes, to give them a crucifix, that they can look upon that and see how much God loves them. And it's the answer to the reason, the meaning of suffering. Why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow good things, bad things to happen to good people? Well, in order to bring about a greater good. Why do you think he died on the cross on Good Friday? To bring about a greater good, which was our redemption, our salvation. If God can bring good out of the crucifixion, he can certainly bring good out of any of our difficulties or sufferings as well. That's why God allows sufferings, to bring about a greater good, our spiritual salvation, for example. So I hope that in our homes we have a crucifix. When you're suffering, when you're sick, have the crucifix. It should be in every Catholic hospital room. As you know, we have the crucifix in all of our classrooms, in all of our offices here at the church. This particular crucifix was designed by us to base it upon the Shroud of Turin. This was hand-carved in Italy. And we did this to show the crown of thorns and how the nails went through the Lord's wrist to support the weight of his body, how there was one nail that pierced his 2 feet with 1 foot over the other. This is accurate based upon the Holy Shroud. So whenever we come into the church, we should see this beautiful crucifix and think of the ultimate gift of love that Jesus gave for our salvation. In fact, I would say that perhaps the most perfect gift you can give a couple on their wedding day is a beautiful crucifix for them to hang in their living room. Because as they begin their married life, they have to realize that true love is sacrificial. And when Jesus died on the cross, this shows how we should love one another. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? He loved us totally, unconditionally, and unselfishly. When that young couple looks at that crucifix, they should think, that's how I'm called to love my spouse. Totally, unconditionally, unselfishly. That's true love. The greatest symbol of love is not the heart, it is the crucifix. The greatest symbol of love. And so let us pray that we'll have a great love for the cross, a great love for the crucifix, and realize that in our life, these crosses are not negatives, they're actually plus signs. A positive blessing that the Lord wants to give us to bring about our sanctification and salvation. God bless you.